well with my soul. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy towards us. We pray as we continue our study of the soul that we would understand the importance of being connected to you. Father, forgive us for the times that we have gone missing in action. We have wandered. As the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Lord, take our hearts, our souls, take and seal it for thy courts above. So to Lord, today as we go to your word, strengthen us in our walk with you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You know, it tells us in John chapter 10, which I think is one of the really turning points important. I mean, they're all great chapters, but pretty important chapter when Jesus shows up in Jerusalem and tells them, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd of Psalm 23. But he puts that as opposed to something, saying there is someone who's coming, there is someone who's a thief who is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came you might have life and have it abundantly. So we realize this, that our lives, whether we understand it or not, we were created by God, body, soul, and spirit, created in his image. And from the get-go, there is a battle going on to steal, kill, and destroy your soul, or the soul of your children, or your grandchildren, or our nation. So then we have to figure out, well, whose side would we rather be on? The thief's side? Well, we can add up in all of history all the things that the thief has done. Or we can be on the side of the good shepherd. So today we want to talk about that relationship, a little bit about the care and feeding of the soul. Years ago, this may be hard to believe, but I was actually a really good runner, all right? And in my office, I have, you know, the thing, the blanket award, you know, best runner in Ukiah High School in 1974 and 5. And then I parlayed that a couple years later and ran my one and only marathon, okay? Grandma's Marathon from Two Harbors to Duluth, all right? Anyone ever been to Two Harbors? All right, one person. Thank you, Blank. All right. You start there, about 10,000 people in it. We would run from there to Duluth. And the night before, we did something they call it carb loading, and they have a special place you go, and it's all you can eat spaghetti, all right? And the idea is that your body's going to need all these carbs to run that distance. And I realize this, what my body really needed was more exercise and about 30 less pounds. And so I'm sure that the carb loading helped. But ultimately is that no food, no energy. Somebody got in trouble with my former church in Ukiah. They would roster themselves in to help out with children's church. And the kids loved them. And the reason why is they brought Krispy Kreme donuts. And the kids could have as many as they wanted. Now, the parents didn't know about this. And so they would show up, and the kids are like bouncing off the walls in there because it was, though the kids liked it, a diet of Krispy Kremes for a five-year-old is maybe inappropriate at that time of the day. I mean, what do I know, really? All right. I just know this. If I eat the wrong kind of lunch by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, what's happening? You know? And that's the time when I should be like a steel trap, you know? And if I'm falling asleep, then it's not much of a trap. So anyway, there you go. We're going to talk today about the care of your soul. If we can simplify that by saying that our soul is everything having to do with our mind, our thoughts, our will, our decisions, our dreams, and our emotions. All right? That's a lot of stuff, right? God created that. And he says, We were created in His image. In fact, it tells us in Genesis that He breathed that soul into us. It's a miracle. We know just by our own lives and watching those around us, there's something interesting about the soul. It is both fragile and resilient. Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hand here because we'd all be raising our hand. How many of you have survived or gone through a terrible illness or a terrible illness of a loved one, or you have lost your job or you've gone through bankruptcy or whatever it could be? The answer is we'd all raise our hand because life itself, Jesus says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take courage, for I've overcome the world. So life is both fragile. At the same time, we see the resilience of the soul. Because I look out in this crowd and I see people who are, you're victorious, you're survivors, you're overcomers. Right? Some are still battling through things and you're here. So the issue of resilience, interesting enough, there's two books I'm working on, okay? One is, I've been working on it for decades, and it's the early church history of Northern California, and then I want to parlay that on to the issue of church history, specifically in the Jesus movement, and how that impacted the north coast of California, all right? Now, no one will ever read it, but I'll read it, you know? But it will be fascinating, all right? What is it? All these people coming to Christ along, you know, young people like myself. And at the same time, you got Jim Jones, the cult leader, and Reverend Moon, and the City of 10,000 Buddhas, and Lord Jim, the nut job up Tom Kai Road, and all the goofy things up on Cobb Mountain and everything. All those things kind of blossom at the same time. Why? So I'm doing that book. You know, I'll be done in 20 years, and you'll get a chance to read it. But the other one I'm starting on is the resilience of the soul. Don't you want to be a resilient person? I do. I want to be the righteous person who falls seven times and gets up again. Yesterday I had an interesting thing. I'm taking care of Sue, and she's getting better, and Carly's still got her stuff with her Lyme, and it was about four doctor's appointments last week, getting all of those. We're trying to make the upstairs of the house we moved into, downsize, and down on 9th Street, is kind of a whole upstairs just for her. And I told her that she could pick out some furniture, but do it kind of on Craigslist. So she found this cool West Elm chair that was normally $600 for $75, the people living in Berkeley. So on the way down to her IVs on Thursday, we drop back by Berkeley. I'm waiting outside, the IKEA store, waiting for this guy to say, yeah, come on by. And he says, nah, tonight's not going to work. Come by tomorrow. I said, whatever, you know. So we got out of Dodge and went through a zillion feet of rain on the way home. And then he says, nah, tomorrow, but that about Saturday. She said, fine. So we worked it out for Saturday. I washed Carly's hair, got all ready. And then the guy says, it'll only work if you come by between 3 and 4. Okay, now this is like at 1 o'clock. Now I know my skills, and I'm very skilled. And so I said, hey, listen, I can do it, but I can't do it if you go. So I'm going right now. And I'm over the hill, and I'm pulling over and saying to the guy, hey, listen, I'm coming on the way, and what's your exact address? And he's going back. So he said, yeah, come between 3 and 4. And I get down to the San Rafael Bridge. I get across, and all of a sudden my phone goes off, and I look over, and the guy is on there, just sold the chair. And I pull over on the East Bay side of the bridge where the toll plaza, I pulled and parked there because you're not supposed to text while you're driving. And so I said to the guy, wait a minute. My daughter said, you said come between 3 and 4. and I'm 10 miles from your house, and it's like, you know, 3:40. He says, sorry for the miscommunication. Well, first of all, then my soul, right? It's a soul thing, right? Right? I'm going, wait, this is just not right. But I have a decision to make, and this is what a small thing compared to things that are happening in people's lives, right? I got a sick wife, sick daughter at home. This is small potatoes. I simply told the guy, you told us, I came, you sold it, and I did something like, that's not cool. I mean, that's my words, you know. I mean, that's the Gary Zeke lingo. That's not cool. And then he says, sorry. At that point, that's all I can do. I turned around. I had some stuff to do in Santa Rosa. Here's the thing. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I have had to learn in my life, I'm not going to allow things to rob me of my joy. What about you? You love, let little things rob you of joy? You know? Your television show got postponed this week. Oh, man, my life's over, you know? You know, the Raiders lost. Who cares, you know? All right. Here's the question. What do you allow to disturb your soul? And I'm here to tell you, the things that should disturb our soul should only be those things that would disturb Jesus' soul. You know? And so that's what I have to tell you. That's the sermon. You can go home. Here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 4. Now, once again, Proverbs written by Solomon or compiled by Solomon for his kids that they may learn how to live a wise life. And I love this one. Watch over your heart or your soul with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And then he goes on. Put away from you deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all the ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Friends, here's what it tells us. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Here is put this way. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, obviously, it's not our heart, our cardio here, right? Because we know that it's just an organ. It has to do with your soul, your being, who you are. Guard it. Be careful. So that's what we want to talk about for the rest of our time here today. Do you take guarding your heart and your soul and your mind, do you take it seriously? There's a lot of TV programs, movies, music, magazines I won't watch. Not because some pastor told me not to, but because Jesus said, hey, I don't think that's so great for your soul. You know, if you're watching nothing but zombie movies and stuff, you're probably going to be scared of zombies, you know. So don't watch them, right? Isn't that a stupid idea? I mean, who watches zombie movies all the time? I was wondering as a kid that they used to have a thing late at night called Creature Features, right? How many remember that? That's the old people here, okay? And you watch, now most of that stuff is like, you know, Godzilla fighting Mothra, you know, in Tokyo or something like that. Not too scary. But some of that stuff, interesting enough, plants the seeds of fear. And the question is, why should I let anything plant the seeds of fear? Why should I allow anything that would plant the seeds of lust in my mind? I don't need to see a bunch of naked people. I don't. It's not right. So, nope, chalk that off the list. The movie's got nakedness in it. Nope, not watching that one. It's my soul. My relationship with the Lord, do I take it seriously? Do you? Moms and dads, I'm going to tell you right now, there are some things that you should never allow in your house. Period. You should not have unfettered access to filth and all kinds of stuff, unless you have all the self-control of Jesus himself. Be very, very careful. It's okay for you to say to your kids or your grandkids, we don't watch this in this house. Am I right? But it takes courage. My friend Bobby, they watch it. Well, go to his house then, you know. But you're part of this family. Now, be reasonable, right? I've known people that, you know, they thought like the Mr. Rogers was from, you know, off because he wore a suit. I mean, didn't wear a suit and he wore a sweater all the time. You know, watch out for that guy. No, I'm here to tell you is that you ought to guard what comes in through your eyes and your ears. Right? Over in on the North Shore, there's a burglar, right? There's some people burglar. I got pictures of them and stuff. It's kind of scary. So now there's a group of people getting together and they're going to patrol the streets, right? Sounds reasonable to me. They met with the sheriff. Seems reasonable. Someone's breaking into your house. I would say first, lock your doors. You know? Neighborhood watch, right? Makes sense. Ukiah, when I lived there years ago, there was some person that burglarized 50 houses within 5 blocks of my house and then 2 houses down. We had a neighborhood watch. Why? Because we cared for our community. Now, here's what I have to tell you. The Bible says, stand guard diligently over your soul and your heart. So be careful what goes in. All right. Now you can read the rest of that where it says, put away deceitful mouth, put devious lips far from you, let your eyes look directly ahead. So it's talking about what you're hearing, what you're seeing, and where your feet are going. All right. So there are some places you ought not go. For myself, when I became a Christian, I realized this, that it was no longer profitable for me on Friday or Saturday nights to go to these kegger parties up in the hills. That's where all my friends were. Well, people say, well, if you want to reach them for Jesus, why don't you go? Because that's not why they're there. They're there to get drunk quick and have mayhem and bedlam take place. So I realized this, if I want to be a minister to my friends, better not go to the kegger parties because, you know, they're not listening. You got to take seriously what your soul feeds upon. Amen? And if you don't, then you're going to have a weak soul. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be able to hold on to the joy that's your birthright. I don't know why yesterday I let the disappointment of not getting the West Elm chair for $75 and having been lied to by someone. I let that kind of roll off like water off a duck's back. Do I always do that? No, but I think this, most of the time I try to do that. Because I want to have a godly jealousy for joy. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't do my family any good if I'm moping around. Do I ever feel down and depressed? Sure. Not like most people. I mean, some people it's curl up in a ball stuff, and I understand that. But for me, it's more of a fog that comes, an apathy. And I have to work through that. How do I work through that? By watching TV and eating, you know, cotton candy and stuff? No, it helps sometimes. You know what it is? It's getting away and reminding myself who I am. I'm God's child through the blood of Christ. I'm Sue's husband. I'm Kevin and Carly's dad. And I'm your pastor. And it's in that order. So part of it is this, is that it's the care and feeding and the guarding of our soul. So let's talk here of how we guard the soul and how we feed the soul. And the first one I believe is this. We guard and feed the soul through the knowledge of God and His Word. All right, now, Jesus, when He was tempted to turn bread, stones into bread, said, "These man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, why is the Word of God so important? Because it is true and it is filled with His promises. So I had to become an expert, and you should become an expert on the promises of God. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's a promise. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise. Thousands of promises. You need to become an expert on those, because the devil wants to try to rob you of that. And here's what the equation is. Promises from God equal hope. And that hope will not disappoint. It's not like, boy, I sure hope I go to heaven. No, the Bible says it's a thing we're assured of. But friends, if you want to feed your soul, feed it on the promises of God and the truth of God. So David in Psalm 42 and 43, he says, "As a deer pants for water brook, so my soul longs for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I appear before God? My enemies have said day and night to my soul, where is your God? These things I remember and pour out my soul within me, for I used to walk with a throng, a happy multitude, to the house of God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God." He goes on in Psalm 73. He says the same things. He said, and ultimately says, "God, where are you?" And then here's what he says. "O Lord, send forth your light and your truth. Let them lead me to your holy hill." There's times in my life I'm just so out in the weeds, and I'm just so out there in the jungle of my own soul. I said, "Lord, I'm help me, you know. Put your tractor beam on me. Bring me back." It is always His truth and His promises that does that, right? Am I right? Now, the enemy doesn't want you to say, "I don't believe God." That's what he said to Adam and Eve. Now, he just doesn't want your life to be fulfilled. Go ahead and eat from that tree, you know. He just doesn't want you to be like Him. What a lie. You know, the very purpose of Christ coming in Romans is that you may be conformed to the image of His Son. You want to be like God? Then do it God's way. So the first thing here, we guard our hearts and our minds through the knowledge of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, "Solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." It constantly in the Bible is saying, listen, you're drinking milk. You ought to be on the solid food. So we got to feed ourselves in God's solid food. Well, I already wrote this down. We do not need to have a comprehensive understanding of the kingdom of darkness to be able to recognize and defeat its forces. Rather, we need to be wise about God and His ways, and lead lives that are informed, guided, and empowered by His Word, His promises, and His Holy Spirit. Friends, don't become an expert on the devil. You know, what's the purpose of that? Unless you're getting a PhD in devil stuff, right? And you could probably get one somewhere. You know what you ought to get a PhD in? You can do that right at home. Are the promises of God. There's about 2,001 of them, so if you memorize them all, hey, we'll give you a special certificate or something. But the most important thing is this, your soul will be stronger because of the Word. Next way that we guard our hearts is we guard our hearts and minds through prayer and noble thoughts. Prayer and noble thoughts. Well, Philippians, my favorite book in the New Testament, Paul says these words. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall stand guard on your heart and on your mind in Christ Jesus. All right? So our prayer, so here's the other way to feed the soul. One is His Word. That's God's promises to you and His truth for you. And next is prayer. And interesting enough, it says the praying of with all prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Prayer is talking to God. Supplication is making your specific lists of needs to God. And thanksgiving is just your praise, you know. So as you do that, and here's what happens. That the Lord will stand guard on your heart and on your mind, your soul, in Christ Jesus. That sounds pretty good. So here's one of the things that the devil wants you to do. He wants you to worry instead of pray. So every time you have a temptation to worry, maybe it's about your kid. Maybe it's about your job. Maybe it's about the future. Maybe it's about retirement. Maybe it's about whatever it is. Say, oh, no, I'm not worrying. I'm going to pray. That stands, and then the Lord stands guarding your heart and your mind, right? Because there's a whole lot of things out of your control. Now, today I got to leave. I have a meeting to be to in L.A., for a denominational meeting all day in El Segundo, the garden city of L.A. I'm kidding. And I'm worried about, well, man, I get down to the grapevine. What happens if it snows and I'm stuck there and everything? So you know what I do? I rationalize plans. Okay, well, I'll have some chains. I'll call ahead, find out what I'm worrying about. And if I get to the bottom of the grapevine and it's snowing, I'll just stay right there, right? Because I'm not going to get stuck halfway up. I wasn't born yesterday. So it doesn't do me any good to worry about it, but I can use my mind. But ultimately this, the Lord, He says, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to you. So we do this next is through prayer. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Set your hearts on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above and not on worldly things. Now, he goes on and says this. I just got to tell you, the whole, here's three sermons. I'm going to give them to you in about a minute now. Here's what Paul says in chapter 4 about the soul. He says this, therefore, my beloved, verse 1 of chapter 4 of Philippians, beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, so stand firm in the Lord. So he says, therefore, stand firm in the Lord. Here's how you do it. Then he warns Yodia and Syntyche. There are two women in the church. They're not liking each other. She says, get over it. And he tells the other people, help them out. But now he's telling us how to stand firm. The first is this, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. One, find joy. Lord, I'm going to hold on to my joy. It's my birthright. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, but what about this? Well, I didn't write the Bible. He wrote it to me too. Lord, help me to find joy today, even in the midst of this storm. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Next, let your forbearing or gentle spirit be made known to all men, for the Lord is near. So rejoice in everything. Next, let your forbearing or patient spirit, gentle spirit, be made known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is near. So rejoice in all things. Be patient and gentle in all things. He goes on, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything pray. Then he goes on to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's anything of excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind or your soul dwell on those things. Meditate on the good stuff. But Pastor, there's nothing but bad stuff going on. I understand that. Hey, you know, I'm not on the sidelines with this, but I have a choice. How do I stand firm? How does my soul stand firm? First, rejoice in the Lord always. Next, let my forbearing spirit be made known to all men. Next, don't be anxious, Gary, but pray. Next, fix your mind on the things that are true, lovely, pure. You know, there's no accident that the first of that list is whatever is what? True. You know, we still haven't gotten the follow-up thing from the oncologist after Sue's surgery. All right? So, praise God, they didn't find any cancer in the lymph nodes. That's good. But we're still waiting for the oncologist. And in my mind, you know what the enemy's saying? The reason why they haven't got back to you that is because they found something and da-da-da-da-da. You know? Do I know that to be true? Then how come I'm thinking that? Is that from the Lord? Well, who's it from? Either from my foolish self or the devil saying, and even if it was something, I can do all things. We can do all things through him who strengthens us, right? So listen, you need to win the battle. And the battle starts with the issue of truth. It's a truth battle. Lord, even if the worst happens, I'm with you. Even if the worst happens, you're going to take care of my family. Even if the worst happens, and that's what it says. That's what I'm saying. The whole sermon's right here in Philippians chapter 4. So when you're having a down time, and I understand that, then you got to figure ways that you can feed your soul. First of all, you feed it with truth. You feed it with things, I love this, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, things that are of good reputation, things that are excellent, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these. It could be your favorite song. It could be driving Scotts Valley Road and counting deer. It could be going fishing. It could be calling your best friend. You know what it is, right? God has not left you alone. He's given you the whole smorgasbord of stuff to feed your soul, and it's right there. Things that aren't on that list, then don't feed on them because it's going to impact you negatively. Right? All right, we've got to land the plane here pretty quick. So we guard our hearts by his word and his promises. Next, through prayer and noble thoughts. Next, we guard our hearts and our minds through holy and consecrated living. Tells us in Romans chapter 13, verses 13 to 14, let us therefore behave properly as in the day, and not carousing in drunkenness, or sexual promiscuity and sensuality, nor strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh regarding to its lust. The word provision there, that is a very powerful Greek word. It is the word, if you are going to go on a cruise or going to go sailing a ship across the ocean, it's how you provision the ship. Right? It says, make no provisions for the flesh. So part of it is that we have to make sure in our life that we want our soul to be in good condition. Friends, don't pack anything away that's feeding the negative side. Don't pack anything away that's feeding your lusts or your fears. Right? So here we go. We need to allow God to stand guard in our hearts and minds. That's what it tells us in Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will stand guard on your heart and your mind. Let God stand guard. Let the shepherd stand guard over you. And the way you do that is by staying close to him. Staying close to him. You can't do it yourself. It tells us in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful upon all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17:9. If you just rely upon your own strength, your own whatever, your heart's going to let you down. We need to trust in the shepherd of our soul. Let him stand guard over us. Psalm 139, 23, 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me." The only one who truly knows your heart, even more than your spouse if you're married, is the shepherd of your soul. So say, "Lord, search me. If there's stuff in there that's not helping me out, then help me to get rid of it." And lastly, I'll say this. And everyone look here. I'm going to land the plane right now. You must be committed to a personal relationship with the shepherd of your soul. It has to be the priority of your life. More so than your family or your job or whatever. Why? Because that's how you were created. He's the one who gets to sit on the throne. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, and in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, the pure in soul." Why? Because for they will see God. Friends, I want to see God in my life every day. And it's not going to come because he's going to make my way where there's no challenges. No, he wants me to develop a resilient soul. The resilience comes from trusting in his promises, praying unceasingly, letting my mind dwell on noble things, the things of truth, and then walking in a manner worthy of all he's done for me. And making him the Lord my shepherd. Amen. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, then today you can do that through prayer. And I always say it's simple as ABC. The A is admit you're a sinner, right? So you admit you're a sinner, and the B of that is to believe, and you're turning, that's repenting, and believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross and his resurrection. He died for your sins and rose again. Next, confess him as Lord, your Lord. That's how a person is saved. You do that through prayer. And those of us who have made that decision a long time ago, that each and every day we wake up and say, "Lord, you're my shepherd. You know, I shall not want. Help me to follow you. Be a student of his promises. Be a person of prayer." And you'll get there. We're going to sing again. Gentle Shepherd. I did it last week, but some of you didn't know it too good. So stand with me. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. You can't make it without the Lord. You weren't supposed to. Cast your cares upon him. Next week, we're going to talk about decision-making of the soul. How do you make decisions, all right? Should you move to New Zealand? Should you not do that? You know, whatever it may be. It's going to be a great, very practical time. So I'll see you next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. You are our gentle shepherd. You are the one who knows us. Help us, Lord, then, to guard well our heart, our soul. We do that, Lord, by knowing you. By knowing your promises, your truth, by being a person of prayer, a person who walks with you in a holy manner. We thank you, Lord, that you are there for us. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you also for your wonderful patience and long-suffering towards us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day.